This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Nau mai anō, welcome to Citizens Advice Bureau O Te Pōti Dunedin Monthly Resettling in Aotearoa Show. Ko ena ahau, I'm the manager here at Citizens Advice Bureau in Dunedin. So following on from last month's show where I discussed wills, including, you know, your options for creating a will, what they should cover, how do you challenge a will, probate, etc. Tonight we are going to look at choosing the executor of your will. And another thing that you might probably is very important to actually consider at the same time as writing a will, which is appointing a or an enduring power of attorney. So firstly, just a quick reminder about the Citizens Advice Bureau Core Services. We help you to know, understand and exercise your rights under the law here in New Zealand, and how to, you know, the steps you might have or the options might you might have to resolve your issues. And yes, we give you free help, advice and information about actually anything. And we're all about educating and empowering people to have that confidence to take action themselves with our guidance. And very importantly, we are independent of any government agency, and anything we talk about remains completely confidential. So firstly, we are going to look at choosing an executor. But I'll just quickly go over again those important terms that you need to know about that we shared last month. The executor is the person or the authorised statutory company who is appointed in your will to administer and then distribute the will maker's estate, you know, your estate, according to your instructions that you've put into your will. And the executor should ideally have common sense and the ability to act in accordance with the will at all times. And just, it's important to note that the executor can also be a beneficiary. So the beneficiary is the person or the legal entity who receives money or other benefits in your will. So really the recipient of a particular amount of money or an item of property. Probate is a court order that's recognising a will as authentic and confirming that the executor has the legal authority to deal with the deceased's estate. Probate is required only when everything in your estate is valued at more than $15,000. Also, there's a difference between there's an executor of a will and there's an administrator of a will. So an executor is the person or company you choose to control and distribute your estate according to your will. The court appoints an administrator if you die without a will. So same roles, but they're just different depending on how they've been appointed. Some people also might have a will, but they don't have an executor, so the court has to appoint an administrator. Someone has to apply for that. So good to have it sorted who it is before you die. So who can be an executor? Well, you can appoint any person as long as they're over age 18 at the time of your death and of sound mind. Most people choose a family member or a friend or a professional executor, which we went over last week. So, you've got to consider the appropriateness of your chosen executor. It's really important to carefully consider your choice. Appointing a friend could mean your estate may avoid legal costs, but lawyers are often needed to help the executor convert your assets into, the point where they can be distributed to the beneficiaries. You can name a lawyer or a trustee company as an executive, as we discussed last week. Many lawyers say that it's often the beneficiaries who complain most about executive fees and associated legal costs. With the willmaker no longer alive, families may become upset about executive fees, which directly reduce what they receive from the estate. That's why it's really important actually to discuss with your beneficiaries who the executor is, and it may be them, but they need to know what that role entails. And that's why it's a really good idea just to know all about this stuff. because it, lots of it can be done without a lawyer, and there just might be the odd little thing that you might need a lawyer to do. So then you're not paying a whole lot of money to do a whole lot of tasks that you could do yourself, or your executor could do themselves. What does an executor do? So in, sort of in summary, they identify and gather together your property, sell it if necessary, pay any debts and tax, and distribute what remains to the beneficiaries according to your will. And they're supposed to make sure, as far as legally possible, that your wishes are set out in your will are carried out. They're responsible for your body, your funeral arrangements, and your burial, or cremation, or whatever you decide. They generally have to follow what was said in the will, or what you've written, you know, your wishes of family or friends. Again, something you should discuss with your family before, so they know what your wishes are, and have it written down. Give the court all the relevant, and the other job of the executor is to give the court all the relevant information they have about your financial affairs and any reasons you had for your instructions. Yeah, so they can make a decision about probate. Regardless of what instructions you leave in your will, your executor has the final say about your burial or cremation. And just be aware, if tikanga Māori is relevant to you or your whānau, that your executor has to take this into account when making a decision. So their responsibilities and risk of personal liability is quite important, because they need to apply to the High Court for probate. And this usually takes around 4 to 6 weeks for the High Court to process an application for probate. It could take longer, though, if it's busy or, you know, there's complications. Sorry, I mean if the High Court is busy or there's complications, you know, with your will, or it's a complicated will. Once probate has been granted, the will becomes public record. And so anyone can search and view it then. And again, like I said earlier, it's not necessary to apply for probate if assets are under $15,000. That includes money in the bank, shares, life insurance policies, land. In that situation, evidence of the death has to be provided to each organisation holding funds, like the bank or the life insurance, in order to access the funds, so you can pay for the funeral. So, yeah. Executors may want to help beneficiaries and distribute proceeds from the estate quickly after the willmaker's death, but that's really risky, because the estate may in turn, turns out that someone might, you know, there might be claims against it. They could come from family members under the Family Protection Act, you know, or from people who believe they were promised something by the deceased. And if they receive less than expected, they might challenge the will. So that's why there should be a 6-month wait to distribute things. The Administration Act states that executors will never be liable for distributing any part of the estate to the beneficiaries if they were made after 6 months on the grant of probate. And if at that time, after that 6 months, the executors have not received notice of any claims affecting the estate, then they won't be liable. And so that's why beneficiaries may have to wait up to 6 months to receive their share of the estate. So there's two different types of people that might have claims against a will. That's creditors and claimants. And so creditors are owed a debt by the estate, and they actually have 6 years from when the debt was incurred to file court proceedings. And so executors have to check that there's not any creditors before they distribute funds. Executors can shorten that 6-month wait period. They do have that option to speed up the 6-month wait period, but as I said, it carries risk. A common legal option is to have beneficiaries sign an indemnity stating that if any claims arise, they will actually refund it. to settle them, and that protects the executor from personally covering any unplanned claims. There have been cases where executors were ordered to pay thousands of dollars from their own pockets, you know, so that, you know, that can happen if the executor loses their statutory protection by distributing their assets too early. And you know, then a claim comes out after the estate's been fully paid out and there's no money left in the estate, so the claimant can pursue the executor. That's why you always should wait that 6 month period. If you make to make it easy, to make executing your estate easy, save your internet access details, bank, mortgage, share market holdings, etc., in a document that attaches to your will, and that will help your family members find and access your affairs when necessary. If you select a lawyer to be your executor to write your will, they may suggest purchasing additional services, but you're under no obligation to accept them. Just be aware of that. So the process when administering an estate, this includes settling any debts that the deceased person's left behind and distributing the estate to the beneficiaries. So the first thing they have to do is get the will. So you need to check who has the latest will. You can do this by paying for a will notice to be placed in the New Zealand Law Society nationwide email newsletter or in their branch newsletters. If a family member has died and you're not sure if they've left a will, there are a few places you can look to try and locate their will if they've left one. It's important to talk to your friends and family about your will so they know where to find it when they need to. And that just gets rid of a whole lot of stress for them when you die. You could check personal records in safe places. If you have right of access, you can search the deceased's home and personal papers. It's also a good idea to look in safety deposit boxes and any hidden or secure places where important documents might be stored. Other family members, you know, the wider family or whānau might know if the person left a will and where it might be. You can also check with the deceased lawyer or their bank. You might find the original copy of a will or a backup copy with the lawyer or with the bank in a deposit box. If you do not know who your family member's lawyer was, you can also, yeah, like I said earlier, place a will notice in the New Zealand Law Society nationwide email newsletter or their branch newsletters. You can place a death notice in the newspaper if you haven't already when you die. Like many firms, check them. And if one of their clients' names come up that they know they hold wills with, that'll get them to get in touch with you. You can check the property title on your family member's home. The title to the property may have the name of the lawyer who acted for them. If you're really at a loss, that might be another way to figure out who the family lawyer is. You can do that using the online land record search on the LINZ website. There's further information about how to go about placing a will, placing a death notice and checking property titles in our article on our website, on the CAB website, which is www.cab.org.nz, and it's titled, "I'm not sure if a family member has left a will, where can I look?" So all that information's in there. The next job of the executor or the administrators, work out what assets are in the state and who to distribute to them. You've got to make a list of the beneficiaries and contact them. And then, you know, make a list of all their assets, like the bank accounts, the investments, real estate, and then apply for probate or letters of administration. Again, as I said earlier, if it's a small one under $15,000, you will not need to apply for probate or letters of administration. Otherwise, you do need to apply for probate if they left a will, or letters of administration if they did not. Keep a record of the estate outgoings. That's the other thing the executor is to do. You must have to keep accounts of all dealings involving the estate. You know, if you sell or transfer property, pay debts, it's a good idea to open a separate account, like an estate account, to transfer the estate assets into and pay the deceased any debts from that account too. And you can find out whether they had any unpaid debts by placing a notice to creditors in the public notices section of newspapers. You need to pay those debts from the estate funds. Then again, you, like I talked about, you have to wait 6 months in case someone makes a claim on the estate. And then you have to distribute the estate to the beneficiaries. If no one has made a claim on the estate, you can do that within 6 months. If someone makes a claim on the estate, you'll have to wait at least 12 months from the grant of probate or letters of administration, sometimes years before you can start distributing the estate. If you cannot locate a beneficiary, you should talk to a lawyer because you might need to apply to the courts for a decision to allow the money to be distributed amongst the remaining beneficiaries. But a lawyer will know about all those court applications you need to make if you can't find a beneficiary. You will need to show that you have taken reasonable measures to find them. You know, the court has to be satisfied that you have tried your best to contact extended family, search and posting on social media, posting adverts in the papers, or using a private investigator. And when you apply to court, you may need to file a sworn statement detailing your attempts to find the beneficiary. Then the executor has to wind up the estate. So after they've settled all the claims on the estate and distributed all the assets, then the estate's wound up. If a beneficiary has a lifetime interest in an estate, you do not wind up the estate until that beneficiary's has died. We talked about that last month. You know, like if the will gives the beneficiary the right to live in a deceased house for the rest of their life, that's an example of a lifetime interest. So the estate wouldn't wound up until that person died. So applying for probate, just be aware, there's no law that says you must use a lawyer, but the application forms for probate, you know, are designed for people with legal knowledge and must be completed in a specific way. So if you write your application even slightly different from what is required, the High Court may deny it. So even if you do it yourself, it's always probably a good idea to get a lawyer to check it. And if you think someone might contest the will, there will actually be a hearing in the High Court, and in that case you will need legal advice. So the application requirements and forms, they're found in legislation such as the Administration Act and the Wills Act, and in parts of the High Court rules. The application forms are actually linked. You can find them in an article on our website, How Do I Apply for Probate? So yes, go have a look there if you're interested in that part of it. Filing fees, it costs around $260 to apply for probate or letters of admin. And if paying that might cause you financial hardship, you can apply to have the fee waived or postponed or refunded. And the Ministry of Justice website has a wee bit more information about that. So another thing is to be aware of. So for your example, think the administrator or executor is not doing their job properly, you can actually apply to the High Court to have them removed. And again, you probably need a lawyer to help you with it. They can also tell you how likely you are to exceed and how much your time and money it might cost. And the reasons they might decide, the High Court might decide to remove an administrator and or appoint a replacement would be if the administrator needs to work with beneficiaries, but they're not communicating with them properly. They're delaying distribution because they personally benefit from living in the deceased home. If there's a conflict of interest, if the administrator or executor is acting fraudulently, you know, by using the deceased money or assets for their own benefit, or if, say, they were ill, the executor or the administrator, that prevents them from doing their job properly. And sometimes if there's more than one administrator and they can't work together, then that's another reason the High Court might remove them or appoint someone else. So the other thing I wanted to talk to you about tonight is that it's a really good idea to set up an enduring power of attorney at the same time as making a will. An enduring power of attorney, it's separate from a will, and it's designed to look after your affairs if you become unable to look after them yourself or make decisions about your affairs. So enduring power of attorney, I'm just going to call it an EPA from now on. So an EPA, it's a legal document that authorizes someone that you nominate, so you have to do it, to make business, legal and financial decisions on your behalf, allowing people to pay your bills, sell your assets, and generally look after your best interests financially. So having an EPA means there's no delay between the time you need someone to handle your affairs and in the time they can act. So there's two types of EPAs. There's for personal care and welfare, but then there's also for property. So to set one up, it's a good idea to set up an EPA if you're concerned about what will happen to you and your property if you lose the mental capacity to make decisions for yourself. So the decision about whether a person has mental capacity, it's made by a court or a qualified health professional. An individual is assumed to be mentally capable unless it's proved otherwise. So it's a good idea to set it up at the same time as your will. If you lose your mental capacity before you have one, then the matter can has to be looked after by the courts. Personal welfare one, personal care and welfare one, that has to be an individual person, and they can make decisions about, you know, just your care and welfare, really, and your medical treatment if you lose mental capacity. The one for property can be an individual or a trustee corporation. It doesn't have to be an individual, but it's all about your finances and how they're going to be managed. So you need to decide who you want to make decisions on your behalf. That's called your attorney. When it will start and end, and what you want to give them authority to do. You know, how might they be supported in their role? Could you name other people, such as family whānau, that you want to be consulted? You know, do you want them to keep any particular people informed about decisions? What are the things you own and what debts you have? You know, who you will give a copy of the EPA to? You know, when do you want the property to EPA to come into effect? That's what I said, that, you know, you can choose when. Look at someone, if you're going to choose someone that's going to act in your best interests at all times, and you trust and won't abuse the trust you place in them. And they still will consult you about decisions, and should, you know, you should try to make decisions as much as you can. So when it comes into effect, you can decide when it begins, either before or after you lose the mental capacity to make your own decisions. That's with the property one. And when it ends is when you die, or the attorney becomes bankrupt, or you remove the attorney from their role in writing. You can cancel one while you still have mental capacity. If you can also decide to suspend it if you recover your mental capacity. So just remember, we have a number of articles on our website relating to everything we've talked about tonight. For example, what is probate? What are letters of administration? How do I apply for probate? What is an executor administrator of a will? What do I need to do to make an enduring power of attorney for myself or for someone else? What is an enduring power of attorney, and when does it start and end? What can I do if I do not agree with a decision someone's EPA attorney is making? So CAB is currently advocating for a free public will-making service because we recognise there is a gap in the service provision. The other thing to note is that CAB cannot write your will for you, nor do we provide templates or kits. However, we can help you think through what to decide, what to put in your will, and offer guidance on how to prepare and execute it. Yeah, so you can contact CAB here in Dunedin about anything we've talked tonight, or absolutely anything you need help or advice on. Call us direct in Dunedin on 471-6166. We've got a 0800 number, 0800-367-222. That may be answered anywhere nationwide, so just be aware of who you're talking to if you want to talk to Dunedin and tell them. And we also have an amazing website, www.cab.org.nz. You can go to, on the yellow ribbon, find a cab and contact us. You can also, you know, for email, contact that way. But yeah, look at our articles. There's like close to 3,000 Your Rights articles on there, and a community directory to find different service organisations, you know, clubs, sports groups. Yep. And our hours are Monday to Thursday. We open at 10 and we shut at 4. We don't take any walk-ins after 3:30. And Friday we're only open, we close at 1. So we don't generally take walk-ins after 12:30. Just gives us time to be able to help you so we're not rushed. So ngā mihi ki a koutou for tuning in this evening, and Otago Access Radio for hosting us. Kia pai te pō. Have a great evening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.